From the Utah School Counselors Association, this is The Sounding Board, where school counselors share ideas. I'm Nate Webb, school counselor, USCA board member, and every week I'll be speaking with different counselors and professionals that will be giving us valuable information in our counseling world. We cannot wait for you to hear these ideas. Let's get to it. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to The Sounding Board from the Utah School Counselors Association. It is the start of the month, April, and therefore it is also one of our favorite segments that we get every single month, starting little, ending big, with our favorite elementary school counselors, Gina James and Elise Hansen. How are you ladies doing today, this fine morning?
Good.
Great. How are you?
I am good. It is such beautiful weather, finally, and I probably just jinxed it. It's my fault. It's okay. Whatever. But I swear it's been like sunny. And then actually at my son's soccer game on Saturday, I kid you not, it was snowing and it was sunny daylight. And I'm like, one half of the sky was just the most gorgeous blue skies ever with the sun. And you look over and it's like green clouds, not even black, green snow clouds. And I'm like, Utah, you can stop it. It's okay. Yeah. Just if you're like that. It's like that toxic girlfriend that just won't go away. It's like, go away, winter. Okay. Just go away.
It was spring even freezing is here. And St. George is cold.
And very windy.
Yeah.
That's against the rules. St. George shouldn't be cold.
Right. And it was.
Dang it. Well, it is finally looking up. We're supposed to be getting up to like 70 degrees or something. Super, super fun. But this week, today, we're talking about parent involvement, which can sometimes be the bane of our existence as school counselors. I know as a high school counselor, there was always so many kids that I wanted to get their parents in my office so we could talk about their PCCR, their plan for college career readiness, you know, plan their future, all these things. And we just couldn't for the life of us get some parents in there. I know some counselors would kill for better parent involvement and what that might look like at the elementary school level. And you guys have some wonderful ideas. I'm just going to let you guys take the reins from here. What about parent involvement? What can we do? Share some wisdom with us.
Well, first of all, I just want to say it's one of the most important and yet one of the most difficult things, in my opinion, to get them in there and get them involved. You know, I don't know. That's my experience. What about you, Elise?
I think it's so important to connect with the parents. Mm-hmm. There are so many things that we teach the students and we need to have the parents trust. And mm-hmm. if we can connect with those parents and they can see that they can trust us and that we're just there to support the things that they're trying to teach their students.
Yeah. They're the front line. I mean, yeah. we're not the front line. We're their backup person. Right. I think it's important that they know that for sure.
Right. And if we can get on the same side as the parents, that's a big deal right now, because there is a big, whether it's there or not, there is a perceived, distance, you know, separation from the public education space and the parents right now, especially here in Utah. There's a big old Instagram group, you know, parents who fight or something, and I don't think they're trying to be, but they do come across as quite anti-school counselors sometimes, because of this divide between, you know, the school systems and the parents. And I think if we can bridge that gap and gain their trust, it does help mounds and leaps with helping us to help their kid. Because when parents don't trust us, I mean, that's when they come in our office, you know, screaming at us about why, you know, we're failing their children and giving us an earful of how we're doing everything wrong. Versus, you know, they know what we're doing and they trust us and they buy in and they support us.
Well, the problem with that too is it's the kids pay the price for that.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, we're not together. I mean, the kids are the ones that pay the price, which is not healthy for them.
No, not at all.
Yeah. We're all in this together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I love I don't know if you'd call it an icon, a little visual that says school plus parents equals success. Mm. And I've always believed that we're in this together.
Mm-hmm. And so what are you guys doing at your schools to help us all get on the same team? Counselors, parents, school, everybody.
Gina does something every week that you send out your parenting tips? Talk about that, and then I'll share a few things.
So, you have to just start figuring out what works. And sometimes it's easier than other times. So a couple of things I do is I do a weekly best practice parenting tip. And so that gives you a weekly, connection with the parents. And I try to talk about oftentimes what we're learning in the classroom, suggest things that they visit and talk to their kids about. So I try to just open up those doors, help them see that we're all here together. We're all working on the same thing, which is growing these kids up into these, empowered, healthy, happy people. The other thing that I do, at least on a monthly basis, sometimes more on SEP weeks, I do more. I do a parent partnership workshop where I talk about what are we doing at school to help your kid, and how you can connect that with home. Sometimes pretty successful, and I get a nice number there. And other times, honestly, there's one time this only happened once, but I was teaching one parent. But I made the decision right at the start that if I had to teach them one at a time, I'd teach them one at a time.
Yep.
That wouldn't be my preference, but if that's what it took, it was worth it to me, because every parent you get to help understand what you're doing, the more involved they are and the better, it is for the child. So that's just a couple of things that I do. You just have to figure out what works and keep trying and not give up.
Yeah. What are some things you do, Elise?
I've done what's called cookies with the counselor.
Sounds so cute, by the way.
And then we had pie with the principal, and we would take turns. We just did it monthly. So one month was cookies with the counselor. The next month was pie with the principal. And we actually did it for only 30 minutes. We would do it. Our school gets out at 2:30. And so we would do it at 2. We found that we were a little short on time. So we actually, I think the following year, we moved it up to 1:45. But like Gina said, you find what works. We did different topics like helping your child with anxiety. I taught them about mindfulness. We did one on bully-proofing your child, natural ways to heal depression and anxiety. I also did one on love and logic parenting tips. And then the last one that I did actually went along with our school-wide classroom management program, which Gina and I both follow. And it was one that she had put together. And it was great to share that with the parents, because they knew what we were doing at school and how it all worked and how they could use that on a parent level. And then the classroom management program made a lot more sense to them. Gotcha. So that was a positive thing to do. Recently, we had what we called an SEL family night, but we called it family wellness night. And we collaborated together as elementary school counselors, and we took turns going to each other's schools. And we each did a breakout session. We had one of the sessions, and they were only 15 minutes. I think if we did it again, we would maybe do 3 sessions and have them each be 20 minutes, because we were rushing through pretty quick. But we didn't want it to be more than an hour and a half. So the first half hour, we worked with the health department, and they provided dinner. So we served dinner for half an hour, and then we started the 3 rotations. So one of them, they got to make a glitter jar, and we went into the classroom and showed the kids the glitter jar. So they were very excited. So the key to getting families there is to get the kids excited to come.
Right.
If the kids are excited and want to come, then the family will come. Another one, we talked about problem-solving skills. We did a coping skills bingo, and then I did a mindfulness, was the one that I was over. And we had a fantastic turnout. We have a school of 180 students, and we had over 200 people attend.
That's crazy.
That's impressive.
Holy smokes.
That was an amazing turnout. Luckily, we didn't run out of pizza. We were so worried that we would, but, and I know it's kind of an oxymoron to serve pizza at a wellness night.
What do you mean? But pizza is so good for your soul. You have never seen a sad person eating pizza. Okay. Someone is always happy.
That's what's easy when you have to feed 200 people in a hurry. That's what's awesome. Easy, but maybe somebody can come up with something better. Let me know. I would love to know what could be easy and a little healthier than that. But we had a lot of fun. And the next day we have some teacher assistants who also have children in the school. And several of them actually mentioned how wonderful it was and how much they appreciated that and the things that they learned. And it was just real quick and easy. And so if we have it another time, they'll know that it will be worthwhile for them to come.
I love that. You know, I was at a parent night. I was presenting at that parent night, but it was a similar thing. And they had so many parents come and they doubled it with, it was like a movie theater night for the kids. And so the kids came, it was an elementary school. They came in their pajamas and their bean bags and their blankets. They went to the back media center where they had a few teachers there and they got to choose between a couple of movies. And then they split them up into their groups. And as soon as, you know, the parents would bring them, and then they'd be like, all right, now parents, you go into the gym for your part. And it was so great because so many parents came because, like you said, the kids were excited. You get the kids in and the parents can't help because they have to transport those little buggers. And those guys are just pestering them all the time. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. We're going to go. And yeah, it's yep. You get the kids and you get the parents. I love that. That is amazing.
I love that too.
I love your idea. That's so fun how they did that and come in their pajamas. Kids love things like that.
Yeah. Genius.
Yeah, you make it novelty for the kids, and it is the funnest thing on earth. And you cannot even make it novelty for the parents, too. Parents aren't used to school events being fun for them. You know, they're used to the feeling like the school is sucking their soul. That's what their feeling of it is. And so if we can give them that feeling of fun and refreshing and like, oh, this isn't a bad place. Oh, look, these are actually really cool people helping my kids out. Now, Gina, you're sharing about your practice parenting tips. And I was really curious as to how you gathered information for that, how you got your research and stuff like that.
So a lot of them, I just write based on what we're learning at school. And I try to follow up on, you know, what direction we're going to help tie it together. A lot of times I just look for a need. So maybe, you know, at the first of the year, I always write one about getting back into school routine and doing things to help them be successful. So it just kind of depends. At this point, I have a big library of them. So I just either write a new one or else I dig back into my library and pull one up, depending on what we're doing. But I like them to match up with what we're kind of teaching and doing at school. It doesn't always. Or I look for something that I see a need. And so then I do a little research, hunt down where's my best information. Then I write the best practice parenting tip. Other thing I was going to say is,
go for it. You're good.
I feel like you take every opportunity to teach that you can. So if a parent calls with a question or comes in with a question, you take that opportunity to connect with them and to really teach. You don't rush through it. You don't try to just say, you know, but you just say, hey, let me take a minute with you. Let me tell you a little bit more about this. Because I feel like if you take those opportunities, it pays off for you in the long run.
Mm-hmm. It really does. I mean, if you just take the time to talk to parents instead of, you know, when you're in a rush, they feel like they are in a rush. Mm-hmm. They feel like you're trying to just push them out the door. They don't feel validated. They don't feel listened to. And so if you take the time to actually talk to parents, it really does make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. And not like, I don't know, it's so easy for us as educators in general. I'm not just counselors, but educators in general. When a parent comes with a question, it's very easy for us to get so defensive, because we immediately may assume that they're mad, that they're out to get us, and that we're already preparing, you know, our defense for their offense, instead of, you know, a collaborative approach of, oh, great question, let me tell you about it. You know, instead of, no, here's why this is good, and here's why it should be said, and we're doing good things. And oh, whoa, I wasn't getting mad at you there. I was just asking a question. Mm-hmm. I love that approach of just looking for opportunities to teach, mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, getting defensive and whatnot when people have a question about what we're doing.
Yeah. And showing appreciation for them asking so that you can clarify. Another great opportunity to teach is when you talk to them when you're going to be working with their students, either mm-hmm. in a small group or individually. It's a great yeah. opportunity to teach.
Yeah. Well, and I always try to speak to the parent. If I'm going to be working with their student one-on-one, especially, I speak to the parent. I don't just start seeing the kid. Sometimes I'll pull the kid once and then call the parent, but I always have a conversation because I feel like that's another good time to really connect and really, you know, help collaborate the work that you want to do with the child. So,
yeah. And oh man, again, when you have good parent involvement, when they're at least aware of what's going on, it makes the world of difference. Because mm-hmm. when you don't have parents involved, like at all, they don't know what you're trying to do with the school. And so it's hard for them to support what they don't know. A lot of times, you know, educators will talk about how we take 8 hours of our day trying to help the students best we can. And then they go home and, you know, the parents, family, whatever, muck it all up. And I'm like, well, it's hard for them to support something that they aren't aware of, mm-hmm. that they don't know about if we haven't talked to them about that. If we can find ways to be able to communicate how we're helping kids and everything to parents so that parents know, 99% of the time, parents are so happy to be supportive. Not many parents are going to be like, oh, my kid is entitled. Ugh. No, most parents are good parents. Most parents are going to want to help you as a school counselor to support their child's education, 100%.
And I always encourage parents to give me a call or email me if they have any questions, because mm-hmm. I don't contact them every time that I meet with their student, just when we start mm-hmm. or if I have a specific concern. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had more time to be able to contact the parents, but I sure appreciate it when they call or email me with a question or concern that they have, or let me know what's going on. Sometimes the students don't tell you exactly what they tell their parents. And
mm-hmm. right.
so it's good to be on the same page and address those concerns.
Yeah, I think a lot of us can flip our attitude from being scared of parent interaction to like looking forward to and like being so excited for parent interaction. Mm-hmm. You know, when a parent calls, oh, yes, it's so-and-so's parent. I get to talk to them, instead of like, oh, no, it's a parent. Oh, no. Oh, no. What did I do? What did I do? Oh, no. Like being so scared immediately. It's like when when your own parent or your own dad is like, hey, can we talk? Like, am I in trouble? You know, flipping the attitude from being excited when parents want to talk to you, because that is a chance for you to communicate with them. Yeah, go, Elise.
Well, and when the student does something well, there's something to celebrate, letting the parents know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So the time they're hearing from you is not only disciplinary or so-and-so got in trouble today, or so-and-so is having a crisis today. You know, they're hearing from you because of good things too. And there's so many reasons to celebrate. If you look for reasons, there are so many reasons to celebrate that you can, any excuse, every single day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, even if you have a parent come in that is upset about something, I think it's critical you just hear them out.
Yes.
Just let them vent. Let them say what they need to say. Don't interrupt it, and wait until they're, you know, finished, and then collaborate with them. Like, don't get defensive. I can see why that's a concern for you. Let's talk about it. You know, oftentimes they'll join you if you just, you know, work with them. And that's what I've found. So I don't know.
Yeah, parents, the world is not against us. Contrary to popular belief and popular thought sometimes, the world is not against us as counselors. Parents in general are not against us as counselors. They are 99% of the time there for us. They back us up. If we can communicate properly with them, if we can help them feel like that we're on their team, they are also going to be on our team, and we will all be able to help their kids. As we wrap up, any last bits of advice, words, thoughts, reactions you guys had?
Well, I think that it's important that we do that communication ahead of time, so yes. that we're sending information out, like the best practice parenting tips. This year, I've done a monthly newsletter that has a parenting tip We have a fact about attendance and we have the lessons that we'll be going over. But whatever you'd want to put in that newsletter, I love that Gina does something weekly for parents. Can I just kind of switch gears here and say a little bit about PCCRs?
Yes.
So when I was a high school counselor, I loved meeting with all of the parents. And I think so often as high school counselors, we feel overwhelmed and we think we need to just get these PCCRs done. And in our program model, it just says that we have to meet with parents every other year. I think that if you can organize it and fit it into your schedule to meet every year, one of the things that I did to help manage that is I would have the students sign up for a time for their parent. I would go in and do my collaborative classroom instruction, and we would talk about what we're going to do for the PCCRs. They were SCOPs back then. I'm dating myself, but they were basically the same thing, just a different name, as you do the four-year plan and look at their goals and make sure they have what they need for the college and career goals that they have. Mm-hmm. But the students would sign up for a time, then we would send a letter home. We would, if the parent didn't show up, and in the letter, we would encourage them to call and reschedule if that time doesn't work for them.
Right.
If they didn't show up, we would reschedule. I think taking the time to reschedule. I also think being able to use Zoom conference calls and attending during your parent-teacher conferences, having that be an option so that you're there in the evening. But I think it's so important to connect with those parents and have them be part of that planning.
Yeah. And it is true. Like the school that I used to be at, we did individual CCRs for our freshmen and our juniors, and then group CCRs for our sophomores and our seniors. Then another counselor came in from a different high school. He was only there for a year, but he talked about how at his prior high school, they did individual CCRs for every single grade level. And it was amazing. And I think that if your program and if your school has the ability and the resources and the teachers are in on that, and why wouldn't they be? Because you're spending less time in their classrooms, because individual CCRs are more so, you know, at the counseling office and less in a large classroom that you have to hijack. But I think it's an amazing, amazing opportunity. Like you said, Elise, I love those chances, and it is some of the best time to build relationships with students and parents. That sometimes is because of the nature of our job. That sometimes may be the only time you see that certain individual in your office, especially if they are fly under the radar, don't have a lot of issues and don't have problems with their class schedule. They're just a normal kid going through high school, trying to do well, you know, and ups and downs of everything in life. That might be your only chance to talk to them and get to know them. And like, oh my goodness, I didn't know you were here because I'm so busy. And, you know, it's a wonderful opportunity. I loved individual CCRs. They're so fun because you get to really know those kids. Groups, they're fun too, but I like individual CCRs much, much more.
Yeah, you sure get to know the kids and you connect with the parents. It just makes a huge difference. It really is worth the effort and the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree.
Well, ladies, thank you so much. This has been such a wonderful conversation. I think all of our listeners have gotten something that they can latch on to help their counseling programs as well, to engage their parents a little bit more, to work together cooperatively instead of being defensive or whatever it might be, but getting all on the same team. And thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode of The Sounding Board and this month's segment of Starting Little, Ending Big from the Utah School Counselors Association. We hope you all have a wonderful day, a wonderful term, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Sounding Board. Email thesoundingboard@utschoolcounselor.org to send us your questions and ideas. If you like our podcast, please rate and review our show. It helps other school counselors to find us. Links and additional information for any references from today's episode are in our show notes. Check out our website at utschoolcounselor.org, where you can listen to past podcast episodes, register for any of our professional development opportunities, and become a member of the Utah School Counselors Association. USCA members also receive a bi-monthly newsletter
newsletter to stay up to date on current Utah school counseling news, events, and issues. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Utah School Counselor and on Twitter at UskaTweets. The mission of the Utah School Counselors Association is to support professional school counselors in their work for students through advocacy, professional development, recognition, and support. This podcast would not be possible without the support of our members. We'll have more ideas to share with you next week. Let's go.